Yeah, I wanted to check out Sunset Overdrive, but it just there wasn't any time. So that's the only thing
Sunset
I really
Overdrive. I'm really kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sadly we didn't get an appointment with Microsoft, and then later doing it on the show floors is hard. And I'm not even sure if it was playable on the show floor, or if on the show floor maybe they just had some demo playing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I saw signs for it, but it could also be just, you know, commercial signs.
Yeah. So, then Friday, Petrit, I let you talk about Witcher 3.
Okay, so Witcher 3. Basically, same setup as last year's Gamescom. So, big room, get in, they show off the game in a big theater, you get to sit down, and they basically demo the game in front of you live. And was it the Xbox One version that they showed?
They didn't say.
They didn't say, right?
They didn't say what it was. I assume it was PC.
Yeah, I assume it was PC also. And they had that marketing deal, so that's why I asked. Anyway, so it basically started with going straight through after what they showed at E3. So did everyone see the E3 thing where he slayed the griffin?
Yeah, me, I did.
Sure,
you did
we'll go
as
with
well?
That. Yeah.
Okay, no problem. So basically Witcher slayed a griffin, cut off his head, was the mission, attached it to his horse, and he heads back to the largest city into the game. Martin, city's name?
No, I don't.
No. So basically, well, they made a clear point that this was the largest, and with the largest city of the game, with the largest number of NPCs and stuff like that, what was going on in that city. And so basically, you ride back with your horse to the city, you check at a bar, and you search for the guy who...
One thing I want to add, though, about that city was very important. Lived in the whole city looked, right? There was... every NPC seemed to like live on some kind of schedule. They apparently also react to what weather is going on and stuff like that. It looked like very living, breathing world, more so than in some other RPGs.
Yeah, and I talked to the developer and he said like, well, they have their routines, but they will actually react to what you do to the world. So they basically be, if you are a little bit more merciful, then they'll be a little bit happier to see you. And once you're maybe a little bit more evil towards the general public, they will be scared more of you. So yeah. So you get back to the NPC, you talk to him a little bit. It's like, did your mission? Here's the head. And he pushes you on with some more information towards a completely different area from the map, like far, far away. He said like it was like a 40-minute ride by horse if you didn't use the quick travel option. And it was a swamp area. And the one thing I noticed and also asked the developers, like the quick travel is only approachable by the outskirts of every town. Is basically a sign that says like left is towards this city and right is towards that, and basically stand next to it, hit a button, and then you'll go into a fast mode. It's not like you hit the start button and choose a location on the map and just travel to it. So it actually has a physical point on in the game world.
Yeah.
And so you go to the swamp area to look for, in story-wise, you looked for a lady who can tell you more about some other evil spirit ladies, and she points you towards a cave where a little boy lives. And you go to the cave, and the little boy didn't have a voice anymore, so he pointed you towards a direction which he could get back his voice, and then he can tell you about the legend of these three evil witches. And mission was fairly standard, you know, follow him and approach the mountain where his voice was basically inside of a bottle. And it was protected by some kind of griffin creatures, right, Martin?
I think for harpies.
Right, harpies, right. And so you can slay them in any way possible you want with your swords or with some spells, and they showed off a new weapon at Gamescom, which was basically a little crossbow, so you you can hit enemies who are more fight based. And you use that, you use rolls, you use all kinds of different, you know, moves. You can all choose whatever you in order which you wanted to slay them. And he did, and gave the voice back to the little creature, and he talked about, you know, the slay those, and he went to a house where there was like a big cloth, what should you call it? Like
a tapestry.
Tapestry. Right, right, that's what I was looking for. A big cloth tapestry. And the lady who owned the house was basically the in-between to talk to the tapestry, towards the ladies who are on the tapestry. And they basically explained a certain story, which I shouldn't actually spoil right now, because it's basically for the main plot. But they'll tell you stuff about history and where you need to go next. And it's basically like normal RPG elements, like follow next quest, do that. In the Witcher setting, so at least you'll still be able to, you know, tell them different answers on depending on how you want to answer them inside of every quest.
Yeah, they didn't show off much new stuff. I guess the only real new thing was like more combat they showed, and like you said, the new crossbow feature. But again, they made a huge point about like your decisions mattering, and that was, I think, the whole point again of this demo as well, that you met these weird ladies in the tapestry, and then later you actually see them. They were part of this orphanage where, when you first arrived, you saw lots of children there, and after you've done your deed and you to kill some weird thing that lived in the cave, you got your information, but at the same time, when you returned, you saw these tapestry ladies, how they really looked, and they also were some kind of monsters who collected all kinds of body parts, and when you returned, all the children were actually gone. Which the developer made a big point of, because the creature you slayed in the cave actually told you that you shouldn't kill it because it knows how it can save the children. But that thing looked horrible. It looked like... It
didn't look honest.
Yeah, it didn't look honest. So it was like a weird decision to make. Well, this thing doesn't look trustful, so, but these beautiful tapestry ladies, of course, do. So let's kill the monster. But in the end, it turned out like maybe actually saving that creature would have been a better idea.
And
yeah, and that's basically 2 hours the entire game.
Oh, wow, a 2-hour demo. Or 2 hours within the demo. And I was asking, was that a 2-hour demo?
It was 45 minutes.
Okay, so it was like 2 hours within the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was quite the long demo. It really showed, like, basically, like, almost a whole quest line.
And it was a main story quest line.
Yeah. But yeah, it still, Witcher 3 still looks fantastic. Then we went to 2K, in which I saw one of those games you're also very interested in, Earl.
let's put an asterisk next to it, and that I hope it turns out well, but I've seen the videos, but I'm curious to hear your impressions to prove me wrong.
Yeah, the game we are talking about is, of course, WWE 2K15.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I don't know, I played it. I think it looks good. They have great looking models. They clearly put a lot of effort into them. They showed us how they actually scanned everyone. And they also showed us that they now, to get all the animation work done, they actually have someone from WWE building a WWE ring inside of Visual Concepts, so they can actually do all the ring work in there while recording their animations, stuff like that. So I actually think, from a visual point of view, the game is actually really good looking. Great animation, the animations were fine, the well, not as perfect as some other sports games, I think they were clearly improved. I think graphically it looks way better. They also have, like, a specific point they made was they now have five times as many animations, especially, I think they called them in-between animations. So, for example, when you had one guy on the ground and he was just getting up, right? So he's in between lying and standing. And in previous games, when you try to punch someone like that, you mostly just hit air, but the game registered something like that as a hit. So stuff like that no longer happens anymore. So you actually have a punching animation and stuff like that. The limbs can actually interact more with elements in the environment. So when you fall down near the ropes in the ring, your leg might actually land on a rope and stuff like that. So that's all small details that actually help to make the game look better. And gameplay-wise, what they introduce is like that you no longer can just walk up to someone and powerbomb him. You now have these chain wrestling concept. So you engage with it while standing next to your opponent and pressing X. And then what happens is you have this rock, paper, scissors system, and specific holds are basically beat another hold. So you pick from one of the three holds, the guy you want to hold picks from one of the three holds, and then basically rock, paper, scissors decides who wins. And from that point on, you then have to move your right stick. You have to find the moment when it rumbles and then hold that point until your meter fills up. And then you either, if you are the guy who's actually holding the opponent, you basically advance the hold. Being hold, you try to escape that way. So it tries to do that faster than the other person. And I have to say, on the one hand, I think that's an interesting idea, that you no longer just can do all the strongest moves immediately, but you have to go through a couple of holds, and then you can do a bigger move. On the other hand, to me, it felt like it slowed the game down quite a bit.
That's what I was going to ask, because it feels like it wouldn't run as smoothly with the... Because how often is that... That's not every grapple you go through, right? Because
every time I grab someone with X, I had to go through this minigame.
Yeah, that sounds very tedious. And
yeah.
It sounds like... I mean, because I've seen other ones, but it really does, like, it's going to be a chore, and it sounds like it's, like, once you're in the system, it's either going to be, like, I assume if you both do the same thing, it just negates it.
Yeah, basically.
So I assume it's either gonna. Yeah, it just sounds like they really don't know what system they want to put in there, and Graphene has always been a weird aspect of it. I understand that they needed it for something, but it's not like how wrestling acts. Aside from the initial lockup, usually you don't have two wrestlers engaging grapples throughout the match.
Yep.
That's true. So, yeah, it seems like they wanted a system that, again, it sounds cool to start with, but if you continue doing that, it just sounds like it's like the, they used to have, like, the ultimate break submission holds, where you had the same thing, and it sounds like this, but it's applied to the entire game now, and that just sounds like it's going to slow down games to, like, oh, it takes 10 seconds to determine what move you want to do, which I guess could work for the...
Yeah.
Which works for the brand.
That's exactly my fear for the whole thing.
Yeah, because it works for this brand because they're so big on like canned animations that if you have only specific instances where people can go into grapples, it's going to be easier for you to have these really detailed moves. But it sounds like it has no real flow or rhythm to it. That's kind of disappointing. The game does look nice, though. What about the stamina system?
So one thing, if I wanted to be an evil, I would say like every match in the team felt like a Randy Orton match. because the stamina system I thought for was fine. It actually makes sense. It felt like stamina like that, and it might sound weird because we all know wrestling is fake, but of course they want to kind of like a simulation. But I think it works in the sense of that it actually can change the flow of a match, right? So if you're on the offensive, you, of course, degrade your stamina, and then the other guy might have a chance for a comeback. And that's actually, though, kind of how a real wrestling match can flow. So a negative aspect, but it's actually something I thought I liked.
Okay. Hopefully we hear more positive stuff coming out of this game.
Yeah. For me, mostly that grappling system that I'm worried about.
Did that the cool? Did you? You didn't talk about the rope animations. Yeah.
What do you mean?
The ringside rope. The ringside ropes that they. You said they built the entire arena. Also to actually different animations on the ropes for different characters.
No. What I meant was that you can at your limbs, so stuff can actually end on the ropes and stuff.
Right.
So that's now a new thing, which didn't happen before. Usually, if you connected with the ropes, you actually didn't connect. You basically just clipped through them. The only time you actually interact with the ropes, I think, is when you try to run the ropes. I think that's the only time you can really interact with them in the previous titles.
Right, so next up, Evolve?
Yeah, Evolve, which we have talked about here on Apostrophe quite often. All of us were always like, why is everyone so excited about this game when we played it? And now I have played it, and I can say, I still don't know.
Yeah, sadly.
I think you were building this up to say, I finally get it, too, because I would have been so happy to know somebody who actually gets it.
No.
So, yeah, we first had a short presentation, which was actually most how these things go. Like, you got about an hour scheduled, and first half an hour is usually intro for folks who are coming in don't know anything about the game, and then you'll get some hands-on time. And here, basically, usually it's pretty useful because you get some overview, and maybe you'll get a certain sense of what they want you to do inside a demo. And now this presentation took a little bit quickly because it was actually pretty boring and amount enough.
Doing a talk for tutorial.
Yeah. So after that, we went into a room, and then it was basically a setup of the important one, and they had demo stations for different demo stations. So basically four teams of five. And the coolest thing, and I think now I understand why certain people are extremely hyped for it, is that you'll play three people together, and one is actually physically on the other side of a, so that people can view their screen, so it actually really put down the side as the creature. And everybody's coached, basically, by someone from the 2K development team. So the four people, the four hunters for the monster, basically are coached through headsets, how they need to find the monster, how to play their character, how to traverse the terrain. And the creature, basically the monster, is coached by someone from 2K to tell them how basically plays, what they need to do in a certain time, how to level up, how to evolve, and how to play the game. And I think that that's the reason why people who have played the demo are so hyped about it, because they're essentially guided all the way through to have a quote-unquote perfect experience as a team, because the coach can basically see all the screens and see where it's necessary to coach people and tell them, no, hit me here and trap that there, and oh, the creature over there, and once you see that, press this button. And so basically everybody has a quote-unquote perfect match, depending on how, if people listen to the coach and what they do. And so the game itself, it played fine, you know, it's 4v1, it looked great. Everybody has a different class, different function. You have your jetpack, which you train to traverse with. You can also run, of course, but jetpack's more fun and gets you there more fluently. And if you do what the coach has told you to do, you'll almost win, depending on how good the main creature is. And I think that's the reason why everybody's so hyped about it, just because they simulate the perfect experience. But I assume once everybody gets it and you don't have that coach and people are thrown in, it's like, well, forest rangers just go out, and monsters way too powerful to be able to be hit by a non-coordinated coach team, basically.
I didn't have that of experience because I did not have coach with me.
Oh, okay. That's
and my first game was kind of experience was this. We started out, got out of our jump ship, and the monster was in front of us. We just shot it a bunch and won in 3 minutes. So then our next match was slightly longer. We played against the Goliath both times, and I just didn't think the fighting was particularly interesting. The monsters around in the world, they are kind of irrelevant for the most part. Most of them are just not strong enough or to be a threat to the hunters. So for the most part, they're just there as food source for the monster. And once you fought against the monster, it was more like, it didn't feel that tactical to me. If you stay, not all people are staying in the same place, so that the monster can attack all of you at the same time. It kind of felt more like a war of attrition than something with actual tactics, it felt like to me. And it felt actually more tactical when I played the monster, but even then, even though I won, it didn't just feel that rewarding. I played the Kraken, that can fly, and for me it was like, okay, let's sniff around. It was actually an option to sniff, so you can maybe then see through walls where creatures are and potentially the hunters. And all I did was avoid the hunters and feed myself until I'm level 3. When I was level 3, I appeared in front of the hunter and killed them all. I don't know. I didn't have, like I said, this perfect experience, and I can see this fun with a group of friends that plays this on a regular basis, I guess for the most part not just the hunter playing together, but also a monster who you know, and then you do this all the time, but I still don't think it's that simple, and I still fear for the content part of it, because it still looks like it's just going to be these three monsters, the couple of hunters, and who knows how many maps, and that's the one game mode. But what was the experience like, Petri?
Yeah, that was basically it. Yeah, sadly, really anything more to it than that. I do feel that all the human hunters were really different. They had different kinds of abilities, and all of them seems to be functional. There's not really something that's like, Eddie, don't really use this or need this. The equipment you get and all the abilities are actually useful, and you'll actually feel like you need to use them together. So one is better at spotting the creature or putting down a flash point. So if the creature once runs past it, it will hit your mini map. And one of them is a traverse. You'll put down a dome that creature couldn't escape from it, but it has a side effect that you yourself don't go through it anymore. So if you miss a monster, put it back down, otherwise you'll be trapped with your team into it also. I did feel everything worked by mechanic, and but it seems to be great. Yeah, I fear for longevity when people start playing it without having hope. But who knows if people actually, you know, play that and go through it the correct way. Being in both team and working together.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I'm not saying it's a bad game. I don't understand how someone can come out of E3 and play more than than we did and pull that game a game off the show. I personally don't get it.
Any Who questions?
I honestly speaking, you folks are just kind of compounding the fears I had about this game in general, in that it seems fun, but it really does seem to have very limited life shelf, and if you can finish a match in like 5 minutes, I don't even know how. Like, I always thought that it was much younger, that it was a much younger, like, the monsters and the hunters started off so far apart that it would be, like, the monster leveling up while the humans try to track it. But if you can find and kill somebody in, like, 5 minutes, that defeats the entire purpose of that, even then. I mean, granted, it was people paying for the first time.
Okay, a match can easily be, like,
right.
But yeah, my longest match I still think was maybe 15 minutes.
Right, yeah, and I did have a part where I started out with the team, even though we had a coach and everything. It took like 6 to 7 minutes for the first time we spotted the monster. And, well, once you've spotted and at least someone is basically tracking them a little, they don't actually get to away from you ever again. When the team is like a little bit helping each other. So yeah, maybe in the earlier part of the match you'll need to track them down because the map is fairly large. But once you spotted them, I don't really see how it's getting really away anymore. So that's like gone for another 10 minutes, maybe like 30 seconds, but not like another minutes upon that.
How many monsters were on this day and how different were they?
We had two monsters playable, both they've already shown. The Goliath, which is like a big bulky monster, heavier on armor and has basically just close range attacks and like so jumping attacks and stuff like that. And the one I played was the Kraken, which has more like range based attacks. So I could plant some mines. I had one attack which charges up, and then I have like this lightning bolt that shot down, and I could also fly for a short duration. And this monster was also slightly weaker.
Okay.
So they felt different. That's the case.
So I mean, I guess that's where the variety is going to come into different monsters, and there's also different classes of humans as well, right?
Yeah, there are four classes, and in each class there seems to be, at least at this point, two different characters.
Yeah, it seems to come from that indeed, not from the gameplay itself, basically.
No. We'll see how that will work.
Yeah, it's still February, so they have a little time. But still, it seems like...
Yeah. And the last thing one was
Do you want me to talk a little bit?
All right.
People are a fan, you know. So that's the new pre-sequel one between the first one and the second one, still coming to last gen PC. And basically, what I can tell about it is Borderlands is a lot. It's pretty well done. Completely new location on the moon. Still player of fun with these weird characters that you either love or hate. And there's no in between. It's the same as the previous games, especially the personality. Even the developer said, like, you hate this guy, you love this guy. There's really no in between. And so on the location makes the gameplay completely different. That's true. It's still a first-person shooter going through waves. Enemy. And map. There's, like, Earth, Moon, it's low gravity, and you always have to wear a space helmet outside, which has limited air, and you don't suffocate or anything like that, but when air is basically lower depleted, you'll move slower. And once you shoot the enemies, some air will pop. You'll grab that and you'll move quicker or back to normal speed. And you wouldn't suffocate. So that doesn't have to be. There is a meter, but you don't actually have to focus on it to survive. And so, yeah. So, previous games, you just quest, and with funny or unfunny, depending on your sense of humor storyline, and you'll grab loot, and you go through the game. And, yeah, first we got a presentation, which basically was this setup, and then we get to play, like, I played almost 40 minutes, played through the entire demo. I was the only guy left at the end of the demo. Everybody's left, and the games were set up to be played co-op. And they said it was on a harder difficulty. I didn't actually feel that way, because I finished the demo on my own, even defeated the boss on my own, and I'm not that good at video games. So maybe they had some kind of mode on which you take more damage or something, less damage or something like that, but it didn't actually feel hard or anything. What it was, I think, still fun. You know, I'm a huge Borderlands guy, but I think if you didn't like the previous game, you won't be like persuaded to get one, especially if you already like moved on to current gen.
Okay. How was the how did you find the oxygen system annoying at all? That's the biggest change in this game, right?
Yeah, that. The biggest thing together with the environmental gravity, so you always jump higher outside of moon bases, essentially. And there are some new elements that weren't in the previous game, like ice. So basically what you can do is, with certain types of weapons, they shoot bullets with ice on them, and enemies freeze, and you can shoot them to basically drain their health bar. Or if your melee is strong enough, you can shatter the entire enemy at once. So even if it's a stronger enemy, once you freeze them, you have enough power put into your melee perk, you can shatter and it's one hit. So that could be a legitimate strategy if you want to do that. But you need to put down perks into melee, otherwise it will take you a few melee hits, and enemies won't stay frozen once they are frozen. It's like a little meter goes down, and after like a few seconds, they'll unfreeze, basically. So also a pretty big change. And there are also guns with lasers now. Them and some vehicles, but this one didn't have any vehicles, and I didn't see any weapons with lasers on them, but those are new elements.
Okay. Good to hear. So what else? What is the final stuff? Final games, I guess.
The last game we saw was Dead Island 2, and Petrit saw the presentation. I actually
played the player.
Yeah, and I played a four-player co-op game.
Which when we talked about it afterwards, was when we noticed it was in the same location. So what they did was show single-player in one location and showed the same location with four-player co-op, and that's what Martin played.
Yeah. And before I talked about Dying Light, and the thought that Techland doing basically the thing they created just under another name would be the game I liked more. But after having played Dying Light and not having such a great experience with it, I actually thought The Island 2 was really fun.
Yeah.
This time around, they really go all out basically with not being serious. The song from the trailer is even used in the mission I played. I had to, like, there were like a couple of guys having a party during the zombie apocalypse playing that song, and we had to fend the zombies off so they could actually listen to the music. And they still have, they have like different kinds of zombies. They have like normal walkers, and they have like some guys who have been infected for way longer that are way slower. Then there were like these suicide fat guys that apparently eat gasoline, and that's why they explode once they reach you, and stuff like that. They also put my upgrade system again in place. Suicide versions in that demo collected like battery parts, and once we had enough battery parts, we also managed to got like an electric weapon. One of the things that people really liked in the first Dead Island was like that you had the possibility to either play with this aiming system where you had like auto aim to specific body parts, Or the other way was to have, like,
manual analog controls.
Exactly. This game has neither.
Yeah.
But I can assure you that you will like it because their system is super accurate. They basically went with a system where you have two attack buttons on your triggers. And usually it's like if you have one weapon, which is also a thing you can now dual wield, I think. And on the right trigger, you have like your light attacks. On the left trigger, you have your harder attacks. And that way, you always know which moves are going to come out at which time. And it still makes it very easy to target specific body parts. So when I wanted to chop someone's arm, just aimed at the arm and made one light attack, I'd farm off. It totally worked. I didn't have any trouble aiming and stuff like that. The developer also told me that we'll be able to unlock new moves and possibly even build your own combos that you can put then on those buttons. So if you press multiple times, you do a specific order of attack. That sounds good to me. Also, they now have different classes of characters. They have Berserker, who's like pretty strong and can take multiple enemies at a time and with melee attack. Speedster was super fast, but not as strong, of course. Then what else was there? I remember one character being called for Bishop, but they didn't really talk much about him. He looked like a religious person who knows what his ability will be, and then was a fourth character class. Patrick, do you remember?
The tank, the big,
no,
big one? The Berserk?
Berserk I already talked about. I meant the humans you play. There was a fourth class.
Okay.
I don't remember right now. Anyway, that demo was tons of fun. There were like lots of zombies around. You could like avoid them if you be a bit more stealthy. You can now also take the environment way more into account. They're, by the way, running on Unreal Engine 4. So once we, for example, got like weapons which have like flames attached to them, then, for example, it was possible for me to set like the grass on fire, and it was like LA suburbs, I think it was where I played, and they had like grass outside and stuff like that, and if there were zombies there, you basically set on fire and set all the zombies on fire, get rid of them that way. Like you can also interact with days like car alarms, make them explode. There were also like traps you could create with like lightning traps that would shock zombies and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that was pretty enjoyable. Although I've said a bit easy, but that's also, I guess, because it seemed like our characters were just very overpowered for the demo. Being like level 20 and those zombies were not as high of a level. But yeah, that was very cool and surprising than Dying Light.
Any of the vehicles
was basically what more?
I was gonna ask if there were any vehicles or any, because the driving in the first game left a lot to be desired.
But I didn't get the vehicle stuff myself, but now apparently it's also the case that every class has their own vehicle, so it seems like you no longer really find a vehicle, you will spawn it.
I thought that they were both. So both car-specific class vehicles and cars in the environment that everybody can get in.
Okay,
that's what he said.
Then that's how that's going to work. But yeah, we didn't get to play it or try out the vehicles ourselves.
But there were cars in the environment, but they're in the, at least in my presentation, I assume them also in the multiplayer, basically were too damaged to drive. So you can use them as traps to basically say, like Martin said, the car alarm, or put a bomb on it to explode, and or attract and kill zombies, but not to drive. Martin, you should talk about the thing that I noticed, that the ammunition and guns were far more present as comparison to the first game.
Yeah, that's true. All characters had, like, right from the start, had, like, a gun. The Berserker had, like, a shotgun, and the Speedster had, like, a Magnum. And we had ammunition right from the start. Although, I have to say, I ran out of ammunition, but still, it felt like maybe guns will be a bigger part than previously, at least judging by the demo.
Yeah, our single-player demo had a guy just had the pistol, and I really noticed in the first game was actually you got a few shots, and maybe like 10 hours later in the game you got a few shots, and here the guy had 150 bullets, and he was basically like showing a few melee attacks, but once he got a few zombies in front of him, he basically mowed them down with the pistol, and that was actually a bitty big change. Maybe they just showed it off for demo purposes to plow through more zombies, but if that's a more focus of a game, it's completely different than the first one, which actually basically had almost zero focus on gunplay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions on that island?
Not at
two?
Or any. Or I was going to ask for any of the other ones there.
What do you mean, any of the other ones?
Don't they have? Don't they? Didn't they also announce a?
Right. We saw that on Thursday. We can talk about that, because I thought it was pretty interesting.
The escape
from...
Yeah. Okay, I didn't see that, so that was just you.
Yeah, that was just me. So, what that is, that's a third-person action-slash-stealth game set in the Dead Island universe on a different island. So, let that sink in for a moment. And running on Unreal Engine 3 still. And so, what... It's a completely different game, by a different team, with a smaller scope, even though it's still coming out on disc and digital. And basically what the game is a third-person action game, where it's far more character-focused with his own backstory, and basically the guy's on, basically like, seems like the start of Far Cry 4, basically, 3, I'm sorry. So you'll strand on an island that's full of zombies with some AI friends, and you'll be captured and put into the basically around the center of the island in the middle of the jungle, and you'll need to head back to the beach to search for your friends. That's the basic premise that they told us. And it's all in third person, and it felt like... Martin, what was the Xbox Live arcade game, zombie survival game, that was a huge success to came later to PC? Remember?
I have
any
no
idea?
Clue.
No. I want to compare it to that. Not because of how it looked. You know, you had your backpack and you could stealthily...
Oh, State of Decay.
Yeah, State of Decay. Yeah, that's the one. So, you're not a big, powerful character. You're basically like a quote-unquote normal dude. So, there's more of a stealth focus because you can't handle multiple zombies at the same time. Like, you can handle two, but not like five or six. Your health will deplete way too quickly and you'll die. And this game has the third-person angle, the developer told me, because they wanted to focus on this character far more. We have cutscenes and he has a backstory. You're not a faceless first-person type of character. And so you'll still be able to, you know, attack zombies with melee weapons, sometimes with gunplay, but weapons don't degrade. You'll basically have three slots for your weapons inside of a menu, a basic handgun, a shotgun, and a melee weapon. And what you'll do, instead of grabbing everything in the environment, you'll essentially upgrade those weapons. So in the earlier part of the game, you'll maybe find a crowbar, and later you find a shovel, and you can switch them or combine them, essentially, and make a better weapon. But it's not like your weapon degrades and you'll pick up a new one. It's basically, from the get-go, you get a few things, and you'll find some few things and upgrade them. But there's no degrading, no crafting, like that. And they do that because they want to make it feel like the character found some stuff and he's holding on towards this throughout his entire story. Had a presentation and it was demoed and you get to play it afterwards and it run fine, it looked fine, it has a comic booky art style to stand out and to basically make the focus far more on that character, and the art style actually worked for the third person perspective, but it has a smaller scope, there's less going on the screen, and graphics are fine, but that's like Dead Island 2 too amazing or something like that.
Yeah. That's something I should have mentioned. I also thought like Dead Island 2 looked really good. In general.
Did it also run well? Because the first game looked decent, but it ran like crap.
It still had some issues at the point that they showed it, but you have to remember that game is still a bit off.
Fair enough.
And the Escape from Dead Island is supposed to come out this fall, and it ran fine for a third-person action game. Maybe not solid yet, but it ran fine. But that game is supposed to come out this fall. Doesn't have a date yet. And it's coming out last on the NPCs.
And it's single-player only, right?
So 360 and PS3 and PC.
Who's it made by again?
Just a different team. Don't have a developer.
Any team we know? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, it's in the same company, but I don't think they... Yeah, they did some things inside the company, but I don't think they actually... Maybe just a part of the first Dead Island team. I'm not sure, and I don't want to speculate on that.
Yeah. It's, they're called Fat Shark.
Ah, looking at it, it's Fat Shark.
Oh, right. Yeah, they said Fat Shark.
Fat Shark,
right, yeah.
They made War of the Vikings, War of the Roses, Crater, Hamilton's Great Adventure, Bionic Commando Rearm 2, and Lead and Gold.
Oh, right, that game that looked pretty interesting and died off so quickly.
Yeah, I actually played Lead and Gold. It was really fun. Person,
Western
shoot. Like I said, died very quickly. Apparently didn't find its
it's
player base.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So, played some more, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we've got the Robot Entertainment guys.
That's true. We actually...
It was actually pretty interesting.
Well, you probably still know the Orcs Must Die games, right?
Yeah.
So, now they are coming out with free-to-play PC title. It's actually not just you in co-op playing against Orcs. 5v5 games, so... 5 heroes versus 5 heroes, and you kind of have your own keep in which you can select your units that will attack and can upgrade them and stuff, and they will then go out with you and attack the enemy base, and you can also, like in the Orcs Must Die game, of course, place traps that then try to prevent the enemy from doing the same to you with their minions. And we played one whole game of it,
right.
in an actually 5v5 scenario, and they have like dozens of characters already there to select. I played like a big bulky guy who could like jump in right into battle and stun guys and was basically like a tank to take the brunt of damage. Then we were also like more defensive characters, and stuff like that. And, I have to say, coming from, I only played the first Orcs Must Die, but I actually really enjoyed that. I was surprised how well that whole concept turned out in, actually player versus player scenario.
Yeah, it played fine. So we played five guys right next to it. So we all played together, and they had five guys in the office through the internet playing against us. And yeah, so you start out with your character, and then you'll see your map, you see the enemy base in the other side, and first, of course, you need to defend your own base. And once you get a little bit of upgrades and a little bit of in-game currency, you can make stronger waves for yourself, so bigger, stronger orcs or different types of orcs that will help you out. And then you'll go with them as with your hero character and try to get the other base. And yeah, it was really fun. And they explained how the free-to-play element worked, and it seems like they're doing it in a not evil way, right, Martin?
Yeah, from what we can tell is that you just by playing, you will get like some in-game currency, which will basically enable you to get like these cards, and these cards are what you use to pick which kind of minions you have during your match and what kind of traps you can use, stuff like that. You basically equip them. And that's, he said that will only be available through the in-game currency, and the only thing they showed off, and he said at this point it's only the only thing they actually ask money for, are vanity objects. They had like a special part in their store which said vanity, and that was just basically if you want different skins for your characters. So that they seem to get it. That's what I thought.
Yeah, and it's running on, it looked pretty great actually. Animation was all fine, it was very colorful, ran on Unreal Engine 3, he said that specifically because then they'll have a wider audience with PCs who can run the game. They had an option to go to Unreal Engine 4, and I was like, well, maybe for the future, but this isn't really useful for a free-to-play game. But even though it looked like, even though it ran on Unreal Engine 3, it ran fine, and it actually looked pretty colorful and pretty great.
Yeah. That looks like a very fun game. I have gotten a beta code from them. Actually, I've got two beta codes from them. So one I gave to Daniel. So maybe we'll hear some pressure from him soon as well, once he's back. And I will probably use the other beta code myself to get some more time with that game, because I had fun with it and I want to spend a little bit more time with it.
Yeah, the mechanics are a little overwhelming, especially coming from the first one, which is basically against the AI. There are a lot of new elements, and there are a lot of menu options and a lot of things you can click on. So more time with the game will help to explain how all the functionalities work.
Yeah.
You can talk a little bit about Hex then. It's the last thing we saw over at Rowan.
Yeah, it's true, but I talked about Hex before on the podcast.
Oh, right,
it's,
right. Okay.
So it's not that important. Hex
right.
is the TCG that's very magic-like. They are still in closed beta, but they will soon come out with the PvE component, where actually no longer can just play against other players, but have like a campaign to play through. So I will probably talk about Hex again once they roll out that update, and then see how the game fares, because right now what I also don't enjoy much about it is that there's at this point no way to earn new cards without spending any money. The plan is to do that at some point, because it's going to be free to play, but right now that's not possible. I heard that apparently that might also come with the PvE update, so I will check back with that game later.
Yeah, and I don't really know these title games or particularly enjoy them. I'm not a Hearthstone person or anything like that, but I thought it looked well and it played fine, and actually it looked pretty played enjoyable, but it's like most of these demos are a little short, and if you're not familiar with the genre, it's a little overwhelming what to do. So I played one round and watched Martin play the rest of the rounds on his PC to get a little bit more familiar, but it seems fine and it looked pretty well for a free-to-play game.
Yeah. And that was our Gamescom.
That was Gamescom. Woo, what a show.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
What a show.
I had a feeling like we actually saw more than last year, it feels like.
Yeah, we had a pretty full schedule. Yeah.
I guess to kind of put you two on the spot, What would you say was your favorite game that you saw?
Aha! I came prepared.
I did, Martin. You should have asked. That we're just going to get that question.
No,
probably know my answer, but still.
I'm just prepared because I thought about it earlier today. What my favorite games were. Do I have to pick one? I would say I would like to do a three because one is really hard.
Well, that's the point of picking one.
Okay, then of course it's going to be Bloodborne.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm coming completely different. I'm coming Hotline Miami 2.
Oh, nice.
Because, man, that just... God, it looks so fantastic. Martin couldn't get through one room. He was stuck at 10 minutes on one room, and I was like, yes, this is going to be it. Yes. I loved it.
He's sharing your game with shame, even though Martin shit with us yesterday as well. I've got to curious, what were the other two games that filled out your top three?
Mortal Kombat X. I thought it just played fantastic, looked fantastic. And the other one would have been Pillars of Eternity, actually.
I forgot to ask. Did you already talk about it?
I think I did yesterday. I did talk about Pillars of Eternity, right? The Obsidian Kickstarter RPG? Or did I not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We'll talk after the recording then.
I see. Pillars of Eternity, I just thought was fantastic. It's basically, if you love Infinity Engine games like Baldur's Gate 2 and Icewind Dale, this is the game you want to play. It's everything you want. Yeah.
And the third one?
That was my third one.
Oh, right, right. Oh, Mortal Kombat, right.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat was the second one.
And I would choose as a second one still Borderlands, just because I'm a huge fan. And the third one, I would choose Bloodborne. Yeah, just because I'm also a Souls fan, and it ran pretty fantastic, even though it's still a ways off.
Oh, well, not that ways off.
Well,
like, we can confirm, because some people were questioning, like, when we talked about during the conference, like, all these inclusives are coming within the next 6 months or something, right? And, yeah, at the end of the Bloodborne demo, it said coming early 2015.
Yeah, which, technically speaking, would put them at the end of, at least by the end of February, if Sony's 6 months is exact science.
If they are really exact with those 6 months, yeah.
Oh, I hope not. February is already way too crowded.
Yeah, that's true.
You can never be too crowded. You can.
Yeah. Looking at October?
Yeah, you can.
Although it's not that hard anymore. A bunch of stuff got moved, actually.
Okay.
Martin, I should mention one more thing. We had the same appointments at Warner at the same time, so you didn't get to talk about the Middle-Earth game, Mordor.
Oh, that's true.
And
well,
I
want
had
to hear
a
about
35 minutes presentation, so I should just mention that, like most people say, it all looks fantastic within that presentation, all these mechanics, especially the, what's it called, the
Nemesis system?
Nemesis, right. Sorry, that's the word I was looking for. The Nemesis system looks actually pretty great and a fantastic idea, and what they showed actually worked, and all the rankings and getting after captains, and then people under captain get promoted to captain, and you can get him or get a general and basically influence that entire army. It all worked within the presentation, but like I said to Martin earlier, I don't know if this game is going to be that way for the 30 or 40 hours they claim the entire game will be. It's hard to judge by this vertical slice, you know? It's a little hard to see if that's fun for all of those hours, but from the presentation and from the little bit of hands-on I got afterwards, it all seemed to work and it looked fantastic, but I don't know how fun it will be after 30 hours.
Hmm. I see. Yeah, I hope it works out, because I just think that system seems incredibly cool, at least on paper.
Yeah, and it visualizes itself pretty well, and it's all pretty well explained, but like I said, with most of these demos, you always have to take them with a grain of salt, because they're shown in the best way, and you're not playing it at home for 20 hours, so.
Yeah. But that was our Gamescom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Woo! Sounds like a heck of a show. Any final thoughts on the entire experience? I mean, I guess you folks, since you were on the business end or the press side more, you didn't have to walk the show floor as much.
I walked a bit around the show floor when I had the chance on my Saturday, because I was there just for one appointment at Paradox. I thought, like, maybe check out the show floor. And I have to say, it seems like organization-wise, it was better than last year. It was still crowded, but at least felt like I could breathe and walk, because this year it seems like they were way more aware of how many tickets they should actually sell per day. Because last year there was an issue, they sold too many tickets, and people, when they got arrived at the show, like, I don't know, 2 hours after it started or something, they were told on the outset, sorry, even if you have a ticket for today, you can't get in, and that's not something that happened this year.
Yeah, for me, walking around, it seemed to be more manageable indeed. It seemed to be more walking, basically you could walk around better, still obviously very crowded, but seems more doable, and especially on the Wednesday, which you actually need to walk around to check out some show floor impressions, seems to be far better than last year.
Yeah, especially since they actually sell VIP tickets, right? So some normal people can go in on press day, you know?
Yeah, and they introduced that last year, and last year was 7,500 people got those VIP tickets, and it made the show floor, which essentially is industry only on Wednesday, way too crowded to do the work. And this year they, quote-unquote, only sold 2,500 of those.
Yeah, so because sometimes you see different things on show floor and the press area, so sometimes you actually want to go to the show floor, and that way it was actually possible this year.
Okay. So that shall do it for us this year. We shall have these fantastic Gamescom shows, so listen to them all. Don't forget we had one on Monday, it's really weird to record ahead of time.
Yeah. Also, check back on this site on the 21st, because there will be something about one new game I was not allowed to talk about.
Yes, and also...
And that's cool.
I won't even mention the giveaway, because I have no idea when that's going on.
Yeah.
But yes. So, I want to thank Martin and Peter for joining us this week. This has been our Gamescom Impression Show. Auf Wiedersehen.
Thanks again, everybody. Bye-bye.